jibba jabba. WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Give me one second. We got to find that Howard Cosell thing. Thank you, Robbie.
A bitter cold night. The Giants, with a victory against the Eagles tonight, could reduce the edge to a half a game. I'm not on camera now. We're in Philadelphia at Franklin Field. The score, the New York Football Giants 13, the Philadelphia Eagles 9.
The Don and Mike Show. Irreplaceable. Don and Mike.
Darn right we are.
Well, it's a great weekend. This is the last big weekend.
Oh, man, some great games.
Even though the Super Bowl is 2 weeks away, this is really the beginning of the end.
Do you not agree that it's come down to two fabulous matchups?
You're a football fan like me, yes. Oh, this weekend, two great ones. And really, we are very happy that Jimmy's taking the time out here to join us.
Yeah, we know he's busy. It's championship weekend.
She's in Indianapolis right now. Hello, Jimmy.
Boys,
Nancy.
It's been a while.
Oh, I love
Jim Nance, everybody.
We love to have you late in the season.
Hey, friends.
So Jim, to speak.
Jim How Nance. Are you? Hello, friends.
Jim Nance. What? Jim, of course, calling the Indianapolis New England game Sunday on CBS.
What a game. What a game.
Jim, what a game. Jimmy. What stories we have, and what a night it'll be.
And hey, what a game last weekend you guys called. That San Diego game ended up being a hell of a game.
Incredible. Yes, it did. It was riveting right down to the wire, and San Diego managed to find a way to lose it.
And Jim, I know that that you don't care about ratings. You don't live in that world. But I'll tell you, I did look at the overnights, and I saw that for the runover, my God, CBS had like 41 million people watching the end of the San Diego game. Keep in mind that 30 million people watch American Idol.
Yes. Yeah. And I sent all 41 million a thank you note by Tuesday.
That's got to make you feel pretty good, Jim.
It was the highest rated show of the week in all of television. Wow. This upcoming game on Sunday will end up being, for the calendar year 2007, it'll be the second highest rated television event of the entire year, only superseded by the Super Bowl 2 weeks out. So, the numbers are staggering. I'm not a numbers cruncher, but I'm certainly aware there are a few people watching, and I'm always aware that you're watching.
Of course. And Jimmy, any added pressure now because of the two games this weekend? While everybody is, of course, rooting for the Saints, and the Bears are a good story, I think really it's Peyton versus Brady, and it's that whole thing. How do you feel calling that game? I mean, do you get the tinglies on your nads?
I beg your pardon?
Jimmy.
I want to clarify. I want to make sure. There are certain parts of my body tingling. I'm not sure, though, where it's
tingling. The tinglies all over your body.
Jim, I know this, though. You really are like a little boy before Christmas Eve calling a big game, aren't you?
I am, but you know, this is going to sound corny or hokey, but I get that way virtually every week. I don't take any of this for granted. I love my job, and I love the fact that I'm living out what truly was my childhood dream. My boyhood dream was to one day work for CBS, and whether it's a golf tournament from San Diego, which is where I'll be next week, or whether it's the AFC Championship game, they are special, and I get the tinglies.
The tinglies!
I get the tinglies before every broadcast.
So
I'm excited about it.
You're doing a golf tournament in San Diego right after the chess. You're taking about a half an hour off, and then you're back to your golf schedule, right? I mean, do you have any time of the year that is more significantly a downtime for you than any other?
Yes, just a little bit in the month of July.
July.
But in the next couple of months.
You got the Final Four coming up?
I've got it a 63-day span. I'm not even going to count this Sunday's AFC Championship game.
All right. Okay, here we go.
But I'll have the Super Bowl, the NCAA Tournament Final Four, and the Masters in 63 days.
Which is, of course, my favorite work that you do. Nobody talks about the Azalea Line fairways like Jim Nance.
You hear that?
Well, I appreciate that. People who are golf followers have been very kind to me. A lot of people out there, those who sometimes, in fact, cover my little end of the world sports television, most of them have no clue about golf, and it counts for nothing. So whether you're good or bad at it, that doesn't mean anything because they don't watch it, they don't listen, they don't understand it, they don't play it. So you could be a good golf announcer or a bad golf commentator, and it means zero because they don't watch it. And they don't appreciate it.
I got to tell you something, Nancy. I remember back 3, 4, 5 years ago, we'd have you on the show, and as we've said before, just a shadow of the man that you are now. And Jim, I'll tell you, we don't need you to rip off your shirt and run down 42nd Street in New York and scream you're the greatest, but just understand this, what you have just told me right now, and everyone listening, Al Michaels wishes he could live in your jockstrap.
Oh, sure.
Can I tell
listen
you?
Listen to that schedule.
No,
Jim. Oh, please. Jim, did you just say, Jimmy, who's calling the Super Bowl?
Well,
Jim Nance is.
I believe it's Jim Nance.
Mike.
I don't have the assignment because the NFL says, let's get
yes, they do.
On that game.
Mike, who's calling the Masters?
Are you talking about the greatest?
I am doing that. For the 22nd year, a tradition unlike any other.
And seriously, the greatest television event in the history of golf.
Who's doing the Final Four? Who's doing the whole road to
the Final Four? For the 22nd year, I will be at the Final Four. For
Jim
CBS.
Nance! You know what? Al Michaels has just called in to say, I concede you're the greatest.
No.
Bob Costas.
No action. To grind with Al or anyone else, and he is a fabulous play-by-play announcer. He's, and I learn something every time he's on the air. I think he's the best.
Now, you know what you can learn
from? Did you hear that? I said Al is the best.
Wow.
Jim,
wow.
This is just me talking. You know what you could learn from Al? That teeth whitening strips don't work.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
That is brutal.
Learn to floss. Jim, you're always...
you're such a fan.
You're perfectly groomed. You're a handsome man. What color tie are you going to wear on Sunday's game?
No, I bought a whole assortment here. I've got a new Brioni blue tie. You see, people send me ties, and I always...
We're applauding your tie.
People really want to see their tie on air, and I promise them I'll put them into the rotation.
You know, our engineer, Jeff, here has a great series of Rush Limbaugh ties.
You know what I actually do with
just
my tie?
Divine.
Are you ready for this?
Jimmy, what do you do?
Now, this isn't at every event, but a good number, maybe a majority of the events, I will wear a tie on the air. Somebody will send it to me. They'll get the thrill that they had it on the air. And then when I walk out of the stadium or off the golf tower, I find a young kid, and I give him my tie. And I tell him that was just on CBS.
And you know what? That's just like that Joe Green commercial. And that kid goes home and later uses that to hang the family pet.
Well, Don.
Oh, nice.
Don, let me tell you something. There's a 47-year-old kid in this studio talking right now that would just love to get one of Jim Nance's ties one of these days. But you just tear it off when you're at the event, don't you?
I take it off.
And you throw it to the kid.
You get off particularly in golf, because they're right there, you know, right below you, and you come climbing down the steps, and there's usually a small audience there waiting to get an autograph.
A little mean Joe Green thing.
And when there's a kid there, it's going to be automatic. I'm going to give him my time.
Can you imagine that poor kid? He's there waiting for something like from Tiger Woods or from Phil Mickelson.
He got
is a tie from the guy who's the announcer.
He couldn't be that far offline, but yeah, that's dawned on me a few times.
Hey, Nancy, here we go. Something serious about football, because it's a serious time of year. I asked JB a couple of weeks ago this question. I would like to ask you as well. If you go back into your memory banks, this is serious about Peyton Manning. There's all that rap about him that he can't win the big game, that he's got to win this, he's got to make it to the Super Bowl. Jimmy, you remember back when John Elway wasn't winning Super Bowls and there was all that talk? There was all that talk, John Elway's never going to make it happen. When Brett Favre would throw the ball all over the place and people would say, Brett Favre can never win a Super Bowl. And all of a sudden, these guys win a Super Bowl, and it's like collectively everybody forgets that for the 10 previous years, they've been ganging up on him the way that they're ganging up.
Yeah, they forget, and they blame it on everybody else was saying that you were this and that. I never did that. But, yeah, they dog him, and then when he comes through, they're going to pretend that they knew all along he'd one day win a big one. I remember this argument in a number of cases in my years at CBS in a number of different sports. One in particular was Phil Mickelson in golf. He'll never win a major. He'll never win a major. I used to have this battle with certain people, and they know who they are out there, because I've gone back and faced them with it on the air. And, he not only won one, he's won three.
Well, when you talk about organizations that are just incredible in all of sports, you have to realize, I would imagine now, that the New England Patriots are approaching that status. Some of the, certainly in the NFL. I mean, they're starting to rack up some pretty amazing numbers, aren't they?
Well, I mean, when you're talking about going for four out of six, we're talking about a territory explored by the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Dallas Cowboys. And
right.
I mean, that's where, if they aren't already a, may I use the D word, dynasty, then, you know, this will, I mean, they already are, let's face it. Even if they get knocked out on Sunday, they've had a dynasty-like run that will be remembered as the one of the great ones in the history of the game. But, you know, the thing that makes it so special is that they do it with players who really are nothing more than rejects off of lesser teams. Case in point, take this guy Jabbar Gaffney, who looks like the second coming of Jerry Rice over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, only over the last couple of weeks, but you're correct.
Gaffney can't break into the lineup with the lowly Houston Texans. And now the last 2 weeks, he's caught 19 balls for over 200 yards and a couple of touchdowns. How he got cut in training camp by the Eagles. How does he do it? How do they get into his head? How do they get him to perform at such a high level? Rashe Caldwell on the other side, the leading receiver during the season, he was just another guy at San Diego. You know, he was a guy they could dispense with.
How much of that is finding these guys and just identifying their potential, and how much of it is getting them into the organization and then turning them into the players that they become?
Obviously, Belichick, he breaks down all these tapes, he and Scott Pioli, and they go through it, and they see something that nothing that someone else has not identified. And then when they join that team, something special is going on in that locker room, whether it's Belichick or whether it's Brady, is able to draw this kind of premium performance out of these guys. They have, in many ways, they have no business doing the things that they're doing. I mean, their secondary has been so riddled with injuries for straight years. You know, again, this year, Rodney Harrison, he probably won't play on Sunday. You know, there are other guys that Eugene Wilson that's in that secondary, and they have, all season long, they have to bring Troy Brown back over a number of times during the year to go play on the other side of the ball. It just doesn't add up. I don't
Jim,
know how they do it.
There's one thing that I know you excuse you. God bless
hold
you.
Hold on a second. Was that a cough?
That was just a small cough. I just got so long-winded, guys.
America just gasped.
Won't be an issue on Sunday, okay?
Jim, I know why you're coughing. You don't want to. You don't want to discuss this topic, but I would not be honest if I did not discuss it. Jim,
what are you going to say?
What
now?
Were you thinking? What were you thinking? Bringing that water bottle through the Miami airport, Jim? Jim, you know. But hey, Jim, really. I know that you're calling the game this weekend, and it's really something for the pregame guys to hash over, if you will, pardon the pun, hash and rehash.
Hey, that was a good one.
But really, how stupid, in your opinion, is Michael Vick for bringing whatever he brought through an airport?
Well, it hasn't been identified, in fairness to him.
That's why I said whatever it was.
Now, are you coming to the Super Bowl?
Yes, we are.
Are you going to be flying through Miami? I'm worried about you. Okay.
That's many years ago, Jimmy.
Yeah.
And no, I'm a little more sophisticated than that. I don't think I'd be bringing it through a water bottle.
Obviously, it's very disappointing that Vic has his name in lights here this time of year, when we all thought 3-4 years ago that we'd be talking about Vic in the middle of January and late January because he'd be leading teams to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So, I'll be waiting to find out what the rest of that story is, because we really don't know.
Well, here's the real question for you, Nancy. Whether it's true or whether it's false, they got a new coach in Atlanta. They got that guy Matt Schaub, who his contract is up. Do you see any chance at all that they sent him somewhere else, that they send Michael Vick somewhere else?
Yes, I do. Sure, there's always that chance. Definitely, Bobby Petrino is a guy who loves to go with an NFL pass offense. I mean, a guy was ahead of his time. The Oakland Raiders took a good look at him last year as a potential head coach candidate. I know there were some people in the organization really felt like they kind of discovered Bobby Petrino's talent, spotted that as a potential NFL head coach. It ended up not working out there, and a year later he's going down to Atlanta after he had a sensational season this year with Louisville, playing an exciting brand of football at the collegiate level. And I'm not sure that Michael Vick is the type of quarterback Vick's got, we all know, incredible talents to not only, run the football, his dedication to just being a pure passer, I don't think that's ever going to be Michael's style. But Matt Schaub is a guy that a lot of teams have said for the last 2 years, we'd like to have that guy on our team and have him starting. So they've got a big question to work out there about that position.
Gotcha. And last thing I'll ask you before we ask you about the games, which is your favorite Peyton Manning commercial? And which is the one that you're sickest of?
My favorite one's the next one. they just keep on rolling.
Oh,
I think he does a great job in it. You know, it's interesting you say that because everybody wants to hitch their wagon to Peyton because, you know, he's a really honorable man and a guy with great character. And, you know, they want to put that money and align their product with him. I can't blame these companies. They are at a point, though, where there are so many different.
He's on every commercial.
He's on so many commercials that you almost sense there is like a backlash with people that, you know, now it's crossed that invisible line of like, what's too much? But hey, listen, what's Peyton supposed to do? These companies are coming at him and they all want to, again, be associated with him. And it says more than anything, it says, you know, something about the respect people have for Peyton. I visited with him today, by the way, here about 2-3 hours ago. He's doing great. And I did ask him the question, without a camera rolling, just do you have any idea how many people in the country would love to see you win that game?
Yeah.
You know, because you do sense that. There are a lot of people, you know, taking that angle. You know, is it going to be the continuation of the Patriot dynasty, or is Peyton Manning finally going to the Super Bowl? And, you know, his answer was, which is what the right answer would be, is that he can't possibly try to absorb or comprehend any of that. He's had a very good week of focus, which you have to be. At this level, if you sit here and even gave an ounce of energy to the amount of talk radio, newspaper columns, TV people just chatting away about Peyton, the scrutiny and examination, it would be absolutely overwhelming. You couldn't get out of bed.
You're right. They got to. I mean, you have to live for the moment.
Is he married, Jim? I'm not asking as I'm interested, but is he married? You know, we don't know anything about him as a person beyond those ads. Is he a married guy?
Don, it's funny you would ask that because today in the meeting he said, I know you're good friends with Don and Mike. Is Don married?
I mean, Jim, does he have a family? I mean, he seems like a guy who just...
He is married.
It's just all the time, football all the time, right, with that guy.
He is married, and he has a girl that he was going with for a long, long time, Ashley.
Ashley, okay.
Yeah. All right, now we know the answer to that. I mean, it's going to be a great game. There's no question about it. It's going to be a close game, too.
And Jim, when the game is very close and you're in prime time, like 9 or 9:30, what do you at the point when you know you've got maybe 45 or 50 million people watching, what do you have?
What are you doing, Don, with all these numbers?
No,
Jim wants to live in the moment, too.
I am telling you.
We've been involved in games and hosting Super Bowls that have done double those kind of ratings.
Yes, but Jim,
numbers. So you don't even, you know, do you ever stop and think about it? No.
To him, 50 million people is nothing.
I like it when he uses Queen's third person.
But, you know, what do you do? You just keep doing what you're trained to do.
Right. You know, Jim,
you guys talk to tens of millions of people.
Please.
Right now.
I did hear.
Do you stop and think about it and quake at the thought
of
that?
Hold on a second. I did hear Queen's third person there. So I think the way you should answer that question in the future, if anybody asks you anything like that, you should simply say, we are very happy with our career.
Okay.
That'll sum the whole thing
up. You know,
up.
You guys have coached me through a lot of these kind of things before, and I hang on your advice. I do, and I will. That's a good one, because I'm going to get asked that question, no doubt, in the next 2 weeks leading to the Super Bowl.
Right. And, Jimmy, where I was leading to
this. Let me get the exact wording. I want to write this down. Say it one more time.
Anything that has to do with your television career and the incredible success you've enjoyed, all you say is, we are very happy with our career.
Okay. A we?
Yes.
No, it's a we.
It's a royal we.
And at about 9:15, when that audience is at its maximum of 50 million
people.
You
know what I'm going to say? I'll tell you right now what I'm going to say.
I'm not looking for a plug, but go ahead.
Coming up later, Without a Trace, here on America's number one network.
I see. I knew you'd do something like that.
Okay. Company man.
What I want you to do when the camera's on the two of you guys, when they got like
Did
a
you
shot.
Want me to give you guys a pop?
No. But I do want you to just bitch slap Phil Simms.
Wow.
I mean,
could you see the headlines?
Just up and
for no particular reason.
What does that mean? How does that work? What kind of gesture is that?
Okay, Jim.
With an open hand, a back of a hand, what is that? When you use that
backhand.
A backhand. No, because they'll be sitting side by side, so it will be the back of the hand, and just really quick and really hard.
One time when he says, like one of the many times when his underlying, you say something to Phil Simms like, hey, it looked to me like the like his foot was over the line when he threw that. And Phil Simms' response, in essence, is, I played the game, so you don't know anything about it.
Now, let me ask you a question there, Don.
Yes.
Is that what you sense that, an undercurrent of that? Is that what you're saying?
No, Jim, I'm screwing with you.
He won't be able to do it at the
opportunity. That isn't true.
No, Jim, you're too sensitive. I'm just screwing with you.
He has to do it when they're on camera.
Yes, right. But you should just playfully slap him.
Yes, playfully slap for absolutely no reason.
Slip him.
Boy Simms is a great guy who's pretty unflappable. Yeah, he gets into those game situations, and he's got that locked-in concentration like he's trying to direct the Giants down the field.
Yeah,
I know.
You know it is.
I know. I just think it would be good. You know, again, just 50 million people. You know,
just something a little different.
How are you guys doing? I mean, we haven't chatted in a while.
We had shocking electric dog collars on today. We were taking a trivia challenge.
And each time we'd get an incorrect answer, the other guy would be able to shock us.
Could you give me a sample question?
Not without the collar.
Bob, did you throw those questions away?
Well, like, for instance, give him one of my football questions.
What was the first NFL team to buy a player?
To buy a player? The Houston Oilers with Billy Cannon.
No, the correct answer is the Chicago Bears.
So, see, Jim, you would have gotten shocked with the
and
with
who
the
was
collar.
There? Jay Berwanger? Who was it?
I don't know.
Jay Berwanger. You made that name up.
Trust us.
You made that name up.
I cannot accept that is actually maybe the correct answer.
Give him another one, Rob.
Oh, God, what was it? What Green Bay Packer quarterback has the season passing record?
Oh, who's passed for the most yards in one season for the Packers?
Well, you know, the obvious answer is Brett Favre. And hold on. But
is that your final answer?
Off here.
Don't shock him.
But it's probably Bart Starr. I don't know what your quote was.
Oh, Don Majkowski, the magic man.
Now, that is not right.
It's not?
It was Dickey or Nicky somebody?
Oh, Lynn Dickey.
Yeah.
Okay, Lynn Dickey. Lynn Dickey.
Lynn Dickey.
You get shocked, Jimmy.
And last question, Jim. How far was the Batcave to Gotham City?
Oh, that's when he asked me on the Batman TV show.
I got one question for you. Well, what's the answer to that?
14 miles.
14 miles.
Who is? And this guy will be, on your television screen on Sunday. Not saying which game.
Okay.
Who is the only player to ever have an interception, make an interception, and throw an interception in the same game?
To ever make an interception and throw it. Was it regular season or
in a regular season game?
Deuce,
the only player.
Deuce McAllister.
No, it has to be a quarterback, Mike.
Who did you say?
Deuce McAllister.
I'm gonna guess somebody wacky like Jim.
Well, I thought it might be one of those options where the running back throws. Yeah, because he does that again.
You still have your electric dog collars on?
I'll guess Jim Zorn.
Okay, well, how would we see Jim Zorn this weekend?
See, he gave you the clue that you're going to see him on TV this weekend.
Oh, I thought it was a guy from the past.
It's a current player.
Gosh.
Okay, all right, hold on. Give it to me one more
time.
That's
why I said Deuce McAllister of your New Orleans Saints.
Okay, so this guy, give me the question one more time.
The only player, well, actually, since 1970, when all the stats start with the NFL merger, the only player to have a pick and throw a pick.
Oh, Tom Brady.
In the same game.
Tom Brady.
Well, how did he make an interception?
Well, it could have been bounced up in the air. I don't know.
He had to be on defense.
Okay. Yeah, he'd have to be on defense. So it has to be a defensive. Are you saying it's a defensive player?
You're not going to get it now. I can see you guys are so far off.
Why am I so stupid?
The answer is Tony Dungy.
Oh, the coach.
Oh, it's a trick question.
Trick question.
He played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was their emergency quarterback.
Trick question.
Gosh, I really thought you'd get that one.
Sure, we get that one. I don't remember Tony Dungy playing. I do remember Herm Edwards playing because
he was a great one.
He was in on that Joe Pisarcik thing, right?
Right. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. He returned the Pisarcik fumble.
I remember that.
But Tony Dungy had a decorated college career at Minnesota, and when he left there as a quarterback after 4 years, he was in the top five all time in the Big Ten in total offense, behind guys like Archie Griffin and Bob Greasy.
Ladies and gentlemen, he doesn't have notes in front of him.
No,
there are no notes here. The teleprompter is working.
Teleprompter in his mind. Nancy, I will let you go. I know you don't like picking the game that you're working on. Who do you like in the Bears Saints game?
Oh, boy, I knew you were going to do that to me. I'm going to go with the Saints.
Hope so.
Good choice. Wouldn't it be nice to have Peyton Manning, who is from New Orleans, playing the Super Bowl against the Saints?
It's an irresistible story. It would be very tough for Peyton. I mean, after all, really, if you took one guy and said, in the Saints history, who's been the face of that franchise? It would be his dad.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And you know, and I've hosted a couple of Super Bowls, but I've never called one play-by-play. And do you know that I was at the very first Saints game ever played?
Really?
Yes.
Was it cold?
Tulane Stadium, and John Gilliam of the Saints returned the opening kickoff against the Los Angeles Rams for a touchdown, and they had about 40 futile years to follow, but I was there for that big historic opening and saw many other Saints games when I lived in New Orleans, and it would be something to be there to call their first Super Bowl.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why Al Michaels wishes he was
Amen.
You're
Amen,
my
brother.
Man. You know that. You guys, I missed you guys, and I just... I thank you for your friendship and my first chance to wish you both a great 2007. It's great getting around with you both.
Same to you, Jimmy.
You guys are the best. You're really
you are, too. We love you coming on the show,
thank
Jim.
You for
we
your
always
time.
Have a good time.
Have a,
thank you, guys.
Have a great
love
call
you guys.
Of the game.
See you in Miami.
See you in Miami,
bye-bye.
Jimmy. Bye-bye. There she goes.
You made a friend for life there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something.
Hey, guys, I'm kind of wound up like a top, guys.
He was.
He's got those factoids in his brain.
And he can't keep them in.
He wakes up doing that, though. I mean,
know.
That's incredible.
That whole trivia thing reminded me of the thing with Rob. I kind of lost my place, like offense,
you know something?
Defense.
He had a bleep dream last night.
Hey, you know something?
No, what?
I had a dream last night.
Jim Nantz.
Hey, guys.
Wow.
Okay, there she is.
Yeah. Wow.
There she is. Thank you, Jimmy.
Wow.
What time is it? God, how long was she on the phone?
She was on the phone for a good half hour.
God, women love to talk. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.